A 7.8 magnitude earthquake hit south of Chignik last week, prompting tsunami warnings in communities across coastal Alaska. As community members across the Eastern Aleutians and Alaska Peninsula got alerts to get to higher ground, fish processors in Unalaska had hundreds of plant employees to evacuate. As KUCB's Hope McKenney reports, for some, the evacuation went smoothly, but for others, even receiving the tsunami warning was problematic.
During a tsunami siren test earlier this summer, half of Unalaska's antiquated sirens failed to sound. The city, which purchased the equipment in 1996, said only 3 out of the 7 sirens distributed across the 2 islands that make up the community of Unalaska are working. For processing plants like Unicy, one of the largest seafood processors in the world, which is located near one of the 3 working tsunami sirens, Tuesday night's evacuation went down without a hitch.
I think the siren helped, because I think people take it a little bit more serious when they hear the siren. If you don't have that siren, now people, they don't know if it's real or if it's just a drill or, you know, really what's going on. So I think the siren most definitely helped us out down here, for sure.
That's Ron Cherzvik, director of Alaska operations for the large Japanese-owned company. He says around 700 employees were evacuated during the warning. They went to higher ground on a hill right behind the processing plant after company officials received a tsunami warning notification first from the state and then local authorities. Cherzvik says he was woken up by alerts on his cell phone and the plant's security guard knocking on his door. They immediately went to notify the 300 people on shift at the processing plant to get to higher ground. And as the tsunami siren next to the facility sporadically went off, officials notified the remaining 400 people off shift in company housing or wandering around the island by activating fire alarms in buildings and banging on doors.
So we got up, got dressed, went outside, started driving up and down the road, talking to people, making sure people are moving.
Cherzvik says the employees walked directly up the hill and waited until the warning was called off in the early morning hours.
We have a drill every season to show our people where they go. So it's a fairly smooth process once you get everybody up. Of course, in the middle of the night, there's challenges with waking people up, getting people to actually believe it's an actual event, not just a drill, which is another, always an issue. But actually, all in all, it went really well. For us, anyhow.
But for other processors in Unalaska not located near a functioning tsunami siren, the notification and evacuation process didn't go quite as smoothly.
We received some positive feedback. Others have communicated some concerns. And, we're working through the feedback that we received and trying to close the loop to make sure that we improve every time.
That's City Manager Erin Reinders. She wouldn't comment on which processing plants in Unalaska complained about the city's notification process during the evacuation. Some processing plants claimed that the city's unreliable message alerts and faulty tsunami sirens made quickly evacuating hundreds of employees from sea level to higher ground extremely difficult. While 4 out of 7 sirens aren't currently operational, Reinders said the city made sure to institute a multi-pronged approach to get word out to the community and processors. That approach included Nixol emergency alerts, tsunami sirens, and fire and police personnel driving through neighborhoods with sirens blaring and lights flashing.
Obviously, it's a more effective notification system if all the tsunami sirens are working 100%. But as always, it's a layered approach.
As Unalaskans and processors made their way to higher ground to wait out the warning, Cherzvik says public health recommendations like mask wearing and social distancing were tossed out the window.
I would guess about 85-90% of the people were still wearing masks. There was a few of them that either forgot their mask in their room or whatever, and that's just kind of the price you pay, I guess, at this point in time in life.
Reinders says given the circumstances, the immediate threat of the tsunami took precedence over the risk of contracting the coronavirus.
As a community or as families and, or companies, we are all having to rethink through how we work. We also now need to rethink how we respond in cases of emergency, when we are also within the confines of a pandemic.
Early Wednesday morning, the National Tsunami Warning Center said the tsunami was no longer a threat, and warnings were called off in communities across coastal Alaska. Only Sand Point, the first community predicted to be impacted, recorded a wave less than a foot tall. In the end, even though it was a false alarm, Reinders says the city is conducting further tests to evaluate what's wrong with the island's tsunami sirens so it can get all seven back up and running.
I'm thankful that in the end, wasn't an overly eventful night, you know, other than waking up and evacuating. I'm glad that nobody was injured and there was no, you know, major tsunami. And, you know, but it certainly does serve as a reminder that we are on an island in the Bering Sea in the Ring of Fire, and, you know, earthquakes occur and tsunami threat is there. And we, you know, need to remember that.
In Unalaska, I'm Hope McKinney.